Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 20, the fourth paragraph. Now, these are commonplace observations through one paragraph ending are very different than ours. Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are 12 Steps Alex K., 12 Traditions Cindy H. Readers of the text, Shelley E. Luann C. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Becca R. The reference number for Monday, May 20th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,414. That's 21414. And for this morning, Tuesday, May 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,416. That's 21416. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Yvonne A., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you so much to everyone who does service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Alex K. in California, gratefully recovered just for today, compulsive eater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. And I'll now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend an OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. This is Cindy H. in Michigan.
Thank you so much, Cindy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 20, the fourth paragraph. Now, these are commonplace observations through one paragraph ending are very different than ours, commenting on this one paragraph. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan, the Big Book, page 20. Now, these are commonplace observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. I have so many things that I want that are like going around in my mind about this paragraph. Number one, is that I grew up in an environment with a very high-powered doctor. And these words ahead were said in love to me, in the paragraph above us, were said in love to me probably on a daily basis. Yeah, you have such a pretty face. I don't understand why you can't just push away from the table. Now, they were all said with good intention. And my only reason for mentioning that is that even at that level, in medicine, in my household that I grew up in, the knowledge of addiction was just not there. It wasn't recognized. Oddly enough, it was recognized when I had a sibling that was anorexic, but still not for what it was, more for why don't you just eat more? And for me, it was why don't you just eat less? Why don't you just push away from the table? I do remember when, I believe it was the very beginnings of Weight Watchers, my mother was going and I begged and begged to go because I had 4 pounds I could lose. And I got special compensation because my dad was a doctor to go to Weight Watchers. All that to say, you know, those are wonderful programs and they do work for other people, but I had no idea that I was in a different category. And it wasn't until I went to my very first OA meeting, I'm so sorry, I am in OA, that I recognized myself and I realized, oh my gosh, there's a reason that I'm the way I am. And I do remember I went straight from that meeting to my father's house and I said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. This is what it really is. And I got the obligatory pat on the back like, okay, sure, whatever would help you. But I have to say also, as a mother of a program, and I said all of these things above to them, you know, why don't we sit down and talk about this? How can I help you? What do you need? Can't you just have one? So I myself, I played that exact same role, unbeknownst to me. I had no idea that it was an obsession and a disease, which is what I have. And now when I tell people, they'll say, why don't you just have a little sugar? I'll say, you know, for me, it's like cocaine. I can't stop once I start, and you don't want to be here when I do start. And they laugh, and they say, oh, I'm an addict too. And I think, you know, fine, if that's what you think, but I don't quite think you get it. Maybe you do, but I don't think you do. And then I had one other thing to say. Let me think what it was. And it was to do with, my husband, who is a complete normie. I really thought that he was just trying to make me mad by not eating the icing off of his cake every time we had cake, or saying he was too full for something. I really, really did not understand that there are people that they really don't want a piece of cake, or they really don't want the icing on their cake. And so come to find out, once I joined the program and I understand, you know, what's lacking in my life, higher power, and what was lacking in my life and the obsession and the disease that I have, it wasn't until I found that out that I realized, oh, okay, he's not doing it just to make me mad. Anyway, with that, I'll pass, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you so much, Shelley E., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today? And we are on page 20.
Claire E. from the UK.
Claire E. from the UK. We are on page 20, that fourth paragraph, starting with now. These are commonplace observations through that one paragraph ending are very different than ours. So who else would like to share?
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N. Anyone else? Press star 1. Okay,
Yvonne.
Let's go with Yvonne. Okay, let's go with those three. Claire E., Lorraine N., and Yvonne A. Go ahead, Claire. Please share with us.
Thank you so much, Dawn. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. And thank you to the speaker that got started as well. I think this is a great paragraph following the one from yesterday. Because I've been at the receiving end of those comments, and you know, it's sort of frothy emotional appeal really. And I didn't know why I couldn't stop after just one. I felt I should be able to as well. And you know, it goes on this paragraph is sort of like the it's the explainer, isn't it? The reason that I can't do that is because I'm different. You know, these people have reactions very different from ours. And I'm in a few fellowships. I don't think gambling's one. So, you know, I can kind of liken it. I don't get it. Why don't people just stop? You know, it's kind of, I don't really understand that one. You know, I have sanity around. You know, I don't have an issue with that particular addiction yet. But you see, I don't get it because I'm not one of them. And that's why, you know, it's like, you know, trying to fix my hairdryer by taking to a plumber. You know, I don't get what I need from those people. They just don't get it. And I am different, and that works very well. You know, my friend, why don't you just push away from the table? Why don't you just stop doing this? Because that's what they would do. And they would do it with no difficulty at all. They'd decide they'd had too much, and they would do exactly that. But I can't. I'm driven to go on by a compulsion and a mental obsession, which is beyond my control. And, you know, thank God I know that piece of information about. I don't need to worry, and I know where my solution is. My solution is here with fellows that identify and get that, you know, because they are that too. And I think it's really good because it goes two ways as well, because it really makes me understand that I don't get what's going on for other people sometimes as well. You know, they also have behaviours and do things that are beyond what I would do. And it just reminds me to keep humble. Like, I'm not the world's leading expert on anything unless I have been in somebody else's shoes with their programming, their conditioning, their life circumstances and their issues. I can't understand and I can't have an opinion really on how they should behave. That's not my position to do so. So it's a sort of two-way process, this, that I just, you know, it keeps me in my lane. It keeps me in my lane. I need to do what's right for me. I know what's right for me, which is to come here to get the solution to my problem and leave other people alone, really, and not suppose that I know what's going on for them. Just reminds me again, you know, I am bodily and mentally different from my fellow. Some lovely people in my life who are the best meaning, best intentions, and unfortunately, what they suggest won't work for me because I am not the same makeup as they are. That's really good to be here. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. Lorraine M., please share with us, followed by Yvonne A.
Hi. Excuse me. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., compulsive eater here in Oregon. I don't exactly know what I want to share. The silence made me speak up. I totally agree with, I mean, I experienced all the things mentioned in the above paragraph, too. Why can't you just have a little? Why can't you push yourself away from the table? And, you know, I couldn't understand the normies' thinking any more than they could understand mine. And now that I've been in program for a while, I don't even feel like I have to explain myself anymore. I just eat what I eat, and that's the end of it. But I actually lost a very good friend because I refused to eat a cake that she made for my birthday that I asked her not to make. And but she said, but it's full of everything you can have. It's brown sugar and wheat flour and blah blah. And I said, I can't have that. Thank you. Everyone else can enjoy it. And I have never been invited back to her house, which is amazing but true. Yeah, there's a world of ignorance and misunderstanding, and I just have to stay in the solution. You know, this program, this book, this meeting is what keeps me on track, and I am eternally grateful for all of it. And so I don't try to explain it to other people because I know it's, I mean, I barely understand it, so I don't expect anyone to understand it. I just expect to take care of myself. And I loved what the previous speaker said, too, that I don't know what's going on for anybody else either, just like they don't understand what's going on for me. And I appreciated hearing that because I can get all about me and not consider others' feelings and confusion or whatever's going on for them. So anyway, grateful to be at an OA meeting today. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. from Oregon. Yvonne A., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Yes, good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you this morning. The line that just stood out for me so much this morning was, back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. And I lived in that world. I'm in my early 60s now. I lived in that world of ignorance and misunderstanding for decades, you know, beating myself up about why I couldn't just push away, why I couldn't just stop, why I couldn't just do what everybody else did, why the pay and ways didn't work for me. And so when I came into the program, which was a couple of years ago now, and I heard the doctor's opinion that this was actually a disease and that there was a spiritual component and that these 12 steps were going to somehow recover me from this state of being a compulsive overeater. I was like, I could not fathom how that was going to work. And yet I just had to put my faith and trust in the higher power, in my sponsor, take the actions that were asked of me. And lo and behold, I came out on the other side, and it's like, wow, now I look back and I can see that world of ignorance and understanding, misunderstanding, that I was a part.
Yvonne, please press star one. Star one, Yvonne.
Oh, sorry about that. Anyways, for those of us who are still suffering from compulsive overeating, who haven't, you know, been shown the or given this solution, and it's not a solution that works for everybody, it's a solution that worked for me. You know, for them, there is still hope. There is still a chance. And so I, too, just wanted to say that it is these 12 steps, it is this program, it is the doctor's opinion that helped me through that world of ignorance and understanding to where I am today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Well, we are talking about page 20, that fourth paragraph that starts with, these are commonplace observations through one paragraph ending are very different than ours. And we would love to hear you share. We do value everyone's experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Margo.
Margo, what's your initial, Margo?
G.
Margo G, very good. And who Lisa else was that?
R.
Lisa R. Very good.
Rachel R.
Yeah.
Okay, and it wasn't Lisa, it was Rachel.
No.
Very good. Sorry about that. Okay, I have Margo G, Rachel R. Anyone else?
Cheryl K. in Arizona.
Cheryl K. Arizona. Who else would like to share? Okay, I will go ahead and put myself in that lineup. Dawn B. Anyone else like to share? Okay, let's go ahead. Margo G., please share with us, followed by Rachel R.
Hi, it's actually Margo B., and I'm an overeater. Thank you so much for everybody's service and the comments around the room. Just really grateful to be able to claim my seat. And it brought me back. I remember, I don't even know, maybe the teens, early 20s, I can't even remember. And it was around pizza and the person's like, I was like, oh, I'm going to just have another slice. I'm going to have another slice. And I kept going. And then I said, I can't stop. And then they were like, just stop. And I was like, but I can't stop. And the level of disconnect then compared to now, it's, I can't even put it into words. So disconnected by what I was saying, what I was feeling, what I was experiencing. But that's what I do, right? I'm an addict, so I walk in one direction, but I'm looking in another. You know, I'm jumping into food or people, places, and things to disconnect from myself. And what this program does is it connects me to God, myself, and others that are healthy choices that God puts in my life. But now I can make a healthy choice. Like, you know what? That doesn't really work for me. I don't even need to explain myself, you know, because I don't want to engage in a conversation about it. I think the thing that I just remember it so vividly, sitting there with the people and what they said. And I was like, but I can't. And it didn't even occur to me that anything was wrong with that. Didn't even occur to me that that was even an issue or a problem. The only issue and the problem was I was going to gain weight. It didn't occur to me that continuing to eat beyond fullness, even who, not, I don't even understand that. What do you mean I'm full? Yeah, I'm full, but I still kept eating. So I'm just really grateful for this work and the program, using the steps to really focus on God, clean house, trust God, be of service, and just keep going to Him so that I'm not disconnected, so I don't have to run to the food to disconnect me further or whatever. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margo B. Rachel R., please share with us, followed by Cheryl K.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you. So this paragraph was really good, and sometimes I see these paragraphs and I'm like, what are we going to get out of this? Because it's such a short paragraph, or the paragraph doesn't really seem to, you know, have a message, but they always do amazingly. And so these complex observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Yeah, it's like, just put down the food, Rachel, or why do you need to get more, or no? And I'm going to relapse right now. And it's just interesting. I went out to eat the other day, and I tried to keep it as abstinent as possible. But the person I'm with, which is an ex, and he's in another program, is like, oh, yeah, I think I have the same problem. You know, I eat a lot more when I'm stressed out and this and that. And I'm, like, sitting there going, I was with this guy for 2.5 years. And I'm, like, there would be, like, apple pies that would just, like, sit in the refrigerator for, like, weeks going bad, killing me that they were sitting in there. I know this person is not this. And so it's just, like, I get, like, you know, it's, like, it's the ignorance and misunderstanding, and just because someone has another, you know, is in another one of our programs, doesn't mean they understand the other, like, addictions. So I see, you know, that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from our own. And I see the reactions all the time of people that are very different than mine. You know, they don't have to keep going back to the store over and over for ice cream, even though they've already had it a couple times that day. So it's like, yeah, it's just really, it's ignorance and misunderstanding, because they don't have the same disease that I do. And I have to have compassion for them, that I'm guessing of what they're trying to say is a supportive statement. Like, oh, I get it. I'm stressed out. I'm going to eat some more. And it's like, no, you're not, because I see what's in your cabinets, and it's just going sitting there stale or going bad. You're not one of us. I'm one of us. Anyway, that's all I have. That's what I got from this little tiny paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel R. Cheryl K., please share with us, followed by Dawn B. Then I'll be taking some more names. If you're just joining us, we are on page 20, talking about that fourth paragraph. Now, these are commonplace observations through one paragraph ending are very different than ours. So go ahead, Cheryl, please share with us.
Hi, this is Cheryl K in Arizona. This paragraph, you know, I think part of it is for me that I believe that all of these statements, you know, and it's taken a while for me to unlearn them. And I'm so grateful for reading the doctor's opinion and realizing that there is an explanation for why I wasn't able to stop eating with, you know, these commonplace. And so I think the other thing, too, is that I'm beginning to see that not only do I have different reactions than other people about the food, I also have different reactions about how I handle my emotions and the way I think other people should act in the world. And so that unmanageability piece, you know, of coming to understand that, you know, I can't manage my own life either. And so I would just appreciate, you know, the program and, you know, being able to understand the truth about my condition and having a solution. That'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl K. from Arizona. And now Dawn B. from California will share. And hi, this is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. Let me just set my time here. There we go. Okay, well, I love what other people have shared. And this is a wonderful paragraph. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours and the world of ignorance and misunderstanding. And I must say, as a couple others have mentioned, that I as well was in that world of misunderstanding and ignorance. I didn't understand my own addiction. I didn't realize that, just like cancer, you know, I don't need to kick myself. I don't need to beat myself up for this. This is a disease. This is a physical ailment. It's not a moral issue. But I spent decades, you know, beating myself up, trying to, I would go to wearing the same clothes to try to shame myself. I had this large pair of bib overalls. It was the only thing that would fit me at the time while I was in college, and just wear those day after day to kind of, you know, shame myself into losing weight. That didn't work. Punishing myself, you know, all kinds of frothy emotional appeal, starving myself for days, thinking that that would be helpful. And then, or just overeating only on that one item that I couldn't get out of my mind to try to get it out of my system, you know, and just beating myself up because I couldn't eat it in moderation. I did not realize that, just like an addict, you know, a little bit of crack cocaine, a little bit of heroin does not work for me, never has, never will. And so that entire abstinence was such a freeing thing to practice. And it's just a beautiful thing. And now to be freed from all that time spent in self-hate is just such a beautiful thing. And to be focusing now on, you know, what my higher power thinks of me, learning about my higher power by trusting and relying, that simple trust and reliance on my higher power on a daily basis. So now I get to ask my higher power, you know, help me to see myself more like you see me, God. Help me to love myself and speak to myself as you would delight in me doing so. So I can even, I've written little post-its on the mirror, you know, so I can practice God's words. What would God have me say to myself when I look at myself in the mirror? And it's beautiful things, loving things and kind things. And it's such a wonderful, just a different way of life. And I'm so grateful for this program. So thank you so much for letting me share. And that's all I have. And now I am going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're talking about page 20, the fourth paragraph. Now, these are commonplace observations through one paragraph ending are very different than ours. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share?
Betsy H.
Betsy H.
Ann A.
Was that Nan A?
Oh, Ann. Ann, thank you.
Oh, Ann. Ann A. Very good. Thank you.
Nancy L.J., California.
Nancy L.J., California.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A., California. Okay, fantastic. Betsy H., please share with us, followed by Ann A. Go ahead, Betsy.
Hi, this is Betsy H., a recovered compulsive reader in California. And reading this paragraph, it reminds me of experiences that I've had going out to eat with normal eaters. And a sponsor I had at one time told me that's one of the most dangerous places for a compulsive overeater to be, you know, going out eating with normal eaters. And I almost lost my abstinence a few times doing this because in some situations I felt so insecure. I felt like I didn't want to look different in front of the people asking about, okay, what's in this food? Is there... you know, making sure it works for me or ordering something special. I was so afraid of not fitting in certain circumstances. Sometimes it was when I was out with coworkers at a new job and I felt like I needed them to like me. In another case, I was joining a church and they did a lot of things around food. So it's scary because like it says here, normal eaters have reactions that are very different than ours, very different than mine. And for a normal eater, they could just do some recreational eating. You know, it would be, it's just so fun to go out to eat and try this different food and just have fun with it or talk about it, take pictures of it, all that kind of stuff. But for me, it's a very serious addiction. And when I think about it, I feel bad that I felt so bad about myself that I was afraid to look different in the group of people and that I felt like I needed their approval. You know, the truth is I don't need their approval, and I need my higher power's approval, and my higher power is in charge of who is going to be my friend and who's not going to be my friend. And the abstinence is the foundation, and recovery is the foundation of everything in my life. If I lose that, I lose everything else progressively. And I have to remind myself, would I feel this shame if I had a lethal seafood allergy and I was going out with to eat with my coworkers? No, I wouldn't. I would just calmly take the action to protect myself so I wouldn't die from ingesting that food. My disease of compulsive eating is very similar. I don't have to feel ashamed of it. And now sometimes I like to explain it to people in terms of an allergy, and I'm more comfortable, very comfortable with bringing my own food and planning ahead too. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Betsy H. Anne A., I'm sorry, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Sure. Thank you so much, moderator. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. I am Anne A., and I'm in New York. And such beautiful, profound just shares, you know, and God is speaking me to speak this morning. I remember I was like a teenager, 16 or 17, and the only two people that called me fat was my father. I can still remember I was in the kitchen. I wasn't in the kitchen to overeat. I did that in secret, right? I cleaned it. You know, I kept it spotless. You know, I'm the oldest of seven. And people pleaser. And then that same summer, Nani, I was playing with my niece or nephew and on the floor, and she again said, "Hey, you're fat." You know, I knew the problem. I couldn't speak. I was isolated. But they did not offer me the solution. They did not say, let's bring it to a psychologist, you know. I guess they thought shaming would help me. It didn't. I knew there was something wrong. I didn't know what, you know. And then in college, I became a health science major. I knew I had a problem, and I thought, hey, if I learn about health, maybe that will stop it. But as we know, that's not it. What I'm so grateful is that 4 years ago at 65, God, a simple prayer at my hopelessness, desperation, I just said, God, help me. And he did, and he has. And I'm so grateful for deepening my spiritual connection these days through two-way prayer, through meditation with a group, and with sponsees, working with sponsees. I'm just so grateful, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne A. from New York. Nancy L. J., please share from California.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everybody. Nancy L.J., recovered in California. So grateful. I just wanted to check in, and reading is excellent. And I just wanted to share. So I'm a nurse, and I was sitting up in a little surgery center, and I was sitting up at the front office the other day. I was kind of ear hustling a conversation about being overweight, some ladies in the office, and I wasn't part of the conversation, but I was listening, and I just kind of took pause and was listening to comments. They were discussing the new medicines that, you know, are developed for diabetes that people are folks are taking for overeating, and one of them had said she wanted to try it, and another gal said, well, you know, they're finding now that being fat is a disease. It's not just like lazy or, and other girls are like, yeah, I'm hearing that. And I just thought to myself, first I wanted to bust out laughing, but then I thought, thank God, this is what it took, was for a scientist to develop a pill that could help, you know, whatever. And you know, I'm not necessarily advocate or not, you know, whatever about the medicine. OA is the path I have chosen to take for, you know, my disease. But I just thought, thank God, the tide is changing where people aren't, you know, assuming that, you know, why can't we just stop? Why doesn't she do this? You know, and then, you know, It further gives me permission to, you know, I am a compulsive overeater. I'm not a pig, you know. Mother's Day, just a quick story. Mother's Day, I went out to lunch with my daughter, and we got home and we had eaten late lunch, and it was snack time for me. So I went ahead and created my little mindful snack, and I asked my daughter, "Would you like some of these?" And she says, "Oh, ma'am, mom, I'm stuffed from lunch." And I was like, what? I mean, I had no fullness about me. It was snack time, period. I didn't care if my pants were on fire. I was eating my snack. I don't get full. That ship has sailed. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have a disease. And anyway, that's all I got. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm Nancy LJ, California, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy LJ. Barbara A., please share with us.
Hello, Dawn. Thank you. Thank you for letting me have the time to share. My name is Barbara A. I'm from California, gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. I so related to the issue about being moral, that overeating was not a moral issue. And so many times in my life, and I've said it myself, full of ignorance and misunderstanding, said myself, oh, I'm going to be good today. I'm not going to eat. Or I was bad today because I overate. And really realizing what that did to me, it caused me to have a feeling about myself that made me feel different, ugly, not worthy. And realizing that people do say those things. I mean, I hear it now today, to this very day. Oh, I'm going to be really good today, and I'm going to get back to my diet tomorrow, and I'm going to be really good today. They may not have an issue, and the diet is the way that they maintain their, that's all them. I know for me that I am neither good or bad because of my overeating. I've really got that with this program. It's not that I am a bad person because I overeat. I have a disease. And I'm so grateful to be in recovery. It has been, I think, 2 days or 3 days since I've been to a meeting. And I am like, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get on a meeting. I'm not doing well. I've got, you know, I'm not connected. I need my medicine. I need my recovery, which is this meeting, which is my food plan, which is working with my sponsee, my sponsor. I'm so grateful, and I just had to share today. I just felt moved to share because I've been away from the rooms for 3 days, and that's dangerous for me. So thank you. My name is Barbara A. from California, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. And we do have time for another maybe two-minute shares. Are there a couple people that would like to share on this paragraph, page 20, the fourth paragraph, starting with, now these are commonplace observations, if you haven't shared in the last few days?
IVS, California.
IVS?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Christine
Anyone
B.,
else?
California.
Christine B., and if you both could take a couple minutes, that would be great. Go ahead, Ivy.
Okay, yes, great. Ivy S. from California, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Yeah, this is a great little paragraph that people don't get. I was thinking about my husband who would eat a bowl of ice cream. This is like a classic for me memory. And then he would go on with his day. I would eat that same bowl of ice cream and it was on. You know, I would become restless and irritable and discontent until I had that next bowl, which I couldn't do in front of him. And then I would have to wait until he went to sleep sometimes. And then I could finish the binge. And then, of course, the purge. And then, of course, I had to repeat and just the insanity. For me, I think it's the beautiful thing has been knowing who I am, which is I am a hardcore compulsive overeater, bulimic. Countless times, I have countless stories of, you know, the controlling and managing and how it doesn't work. So that's, you know, my own story is like one of my biggest treasures is, you know, that this is who I am. This is just who I am, and you know, and acceptance, and it's you know, love and acceptance, like other people shared, you know, and my higher power who sees all, and that just kind of frees me up most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time regarding other people's reactions, you know, and people don't have that same experience, so they don't have that same belief. And most of the time, I can let it go and just be okay with it. And when I'm not, then I have a solution with that as well. I can do 10 steps, talk to other people, and be reminded that it's my program.
Time.
So really, thank you. Grateful for being here. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, IVS. And Christine B., we have about a minute, if you could share.
Okay. Hi, I think I could be fast. My higher power just bailed me out because I was like, oh boy, what am I going to share? I think actually I'm rethinking everything I've heard, and I think we're all saying, you know, there's some commonalities. But the one thing I think I could do in a minute here is I, for some reason, for myself thought my disease was I eat my feelings, good or bad. But I realized a thing where people don't understand is when I overeat, I also want to eat more. When I eat a normal portion, I'm generally okay. So I don't know if that resonated with anybody, but thanks for letting me share. Got it.
Thank you so much, Christine B., and everyone who shared today. This is a really great meeting. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, thank you, everyone. I'm Luann C., gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.